Welcome to the podcast of Grace Covenant Church, where we are transformed by God's grace, connected through relationships, and committed to service.
Good morning. It's really good to be back. I've been out of Austin and Grace for a long time. We have a lot of friends here, so it's good to see you again. As we were preparing for this time, I was talking with Tom, and I was hoping that he would be here with us this morning, but I know where he is. He's praying for us, and we thank God for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. When I started this morning, they asked me to talk louder, so let me try. On a hot summer day in Florida, a little boy decided to go for a swim in the old swimming hole behind his house. He flew into the water, not realizing that as he swam toward the middle of the lake, there was an alligator swimming toward the shore. His father, working in the yard, saw what was happening, and in utter fear, he ran toward the water, yelling to his son. The little boy became alarmed, make a U-turn to his father, but it was too late. From the dock, the father grabbed his little boy by the arms just as the alligator snatched his legs. That began an incredible tug of war between the two. The alligator was stronger than the father, but the father would not let go. A farmer happened to drive by, heard the screams, raced from his truck, took aim, and he shot the alligator. Remarkably, after weeks in the hospital, the little boy survived. His legs were extremely scarred by the vicious attack of the animal, and on his arms were deep scratches where his father's fingernails dug into his flesh in his effort to hang on the son he loved. The newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked him if he would show him his scars. The boy lifted his bent legs, and then with obvious pride, he said, "Look at my arms. I have great scars too on my arms because my father wouldn't let go." In our sermon this morning, we look at a father who will never let go of us. It's obvious that the world is getting darker as secularism and paganism are sweeping all over the world. We just want to give up and we feel so hopeless. Even when you and I would give up on this world, even when you and I will give up on people, God will never give up on this world. He'll never give up on you, never give up on me, never give up on our children, never give up on our church and our country, and God will never give up on of this world. Some of us have great scars of a painful past. But sometimes those scars are reminders of how dearly God held on to us and did not let go until he saved us. There is a battle going on today all over the world, a battle for this world. Great forces are fighting. I want to encourage you with this. Our Father is going to win. God will win because God will never give up. God will never give up on this world. So this morning, it will be good to look in the Word how God works to bring new life, new creation, how he's renewing things and people. So I would like to invite you to read with me in the book of Genesis, the first chapter. And we will read the first five verses, and then we will see how God is still fighting for this world as he was renewing the other world, as he was creating it. And he's holding into it, holding into us, because he loved us. Please read with me the first five verses in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was all over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was an evening, and there was a morning, and this was the first day. What a first day. That was when God created this world. The first thing we would like to see this morning is that God remains engaged no matter what is going on in the world. No matter what is going on around you, no matter what is going on in your life, God remains engaged. He will never give up. I have a problem with my nuts. Okay, that goes up or down. God will never give up. The world today looks like a mess. Problems are all over. But we need to believe that our Father, our God, can bring life. He can bring order. He can bring beauty, even if everything seems to be very bad around us. So, as we look at the second verse, we have a description of the world. That description is hard to understand. We read that the earth was formless and void. I've never seen a world formless and void. All I know, we have a beautiful world. Louis Armstrong would say, "What a wonderful world." God created this beautiful world. He created it for us to enjoy and to bless him, as we just sang a few minutes ago. And God loved this world. God loved all of us. One thing we know, that God is not absent from what is going on in our country today. He's not absent. He's still engaged. God is always present. God is always present. How does his present? The Bible said the Spirit is there. He was there then. He's there now. The Spirit of God will never disengage, because God loved this world. So God is present by the Spirit, and whenever the Spirit of God is moving somewhere, there's hope. The Spirit will bring regeneration. What is regeneration? It's a work, silent work of God to bring life to dead things, to bring life to dead people, spiritually dead. And whenever God is moving, he's preparing something wonderful. The Spirit will bring change. He will bring life. So whenever the Spirit is moving, we can expect something new, a new beginning. You see, the situation as it is today, don't look at it as it is. Look at it as God wants us to look at it. God is working, not only here, but he's working all over the world. As I will share some stories with you, God is working. Whenever he's working, there are changes. Now, God can put order and beauty in the world. This is what he did. And we saw the first day, and there was a second day, there was a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a 7 days, until beauty and life came together. And this is the wonderful world we have today. So the first thing God did was to speak light. God spoke light into a dark world. Darkness can be depressing. Where I live, after 6 p.m., it's dark. When I say dark, it's dark. And you don't have the city light every day. As a matter of fact, it has been a couple of months since November last year we saw the light from the city. It's dark. So believe me, physical darkness can be depressive, but worse than physical darkness is spiritual, emotional darkness, where people are imprisoned by fear, failure, and despair for generations. They have been in situations where they cannot get out. So what happened? As we started to work in the village, the first thing we did was to try to bring light. We tried to bring light. Do you think it was easy? No, it was not. For God, it's easy. God will just say the word and the light will start to shine. But for me, I had to look for a generator. Then I had to look for finances. It was not that hard to find the generator, but finances was something else. Then God provided, we had the generator. We needed to move that thing to the place where we needed it. This is what happened. We have to split it in two. First, we move the shell. This man will carry the shell on the top of the hill. Then we'll use a tractor to drag the engine. Then work and put it back together again to have power. Friend, you cannot imagine what it is for people who have been living in darkness for years to see the light for the first time. That was something. Now, God has blessed our ministry. We have not only light for the village, but we have solar panels, we have batteries, we have inverters, and we have a ministry there, our radio, our TV. We can broadcast 24 hours a day, and the light is always on, and people can always see the light. God is moving. This is what he does, bringing light. Changing lives. Just as I was working on my sermon for today, I received a call. It was not a call, but it was a tweet. I'm sorry. A tweet. Sometimes you don't know which one. Okay. And on that tweet, the person said, "Congratulations." I said, "What is going on?" When I look into it, they just elected a new president in Haiti. And this president is the first Protestant ever in the history of Haiti. Isn't that wonderful? The story gets better. This man went to jail a few years ago. He was a minister for President Aristide. He went to jail. I had the opportunity to visit him, minister to him. Through our ministry, he came to the Lord. And he's part of our church. His family is part of our church. So the investment of time talent, resources. God is using them. Your investment, I started serving God with you, and you invested a lot in us. So you have an investment in what is going on in Haiti today. God is moving. I would never imagine to see in my church a president. A president? In my church? This is what God is doing. He's changing life, bringing light into a dark world, and bringing hope. The question is, what would you like to see God doing around you? How would you like for God to change things? I love cowboy movies. There's a cowboy movie, the name is How the West Was Won. Do you know how it did? Well, I don't remember much about that movie, but one thing I know, the pilgrims, they settled in places where no one else would go, and they decided to stay there and fight and establish themselves. Some of them died. Others survived. But they transformed wilderness into oasis. America has become the greatest country in the history of mankind. Everybody wants to come and live in America. Everybody would like to own a piece of America. Those people stood there. How that applies to us? We have a spiritual warfare in the world today. The problem, we have the impression that we are losing the war because some of us will not show up. We'll not be at the place where God is working. Or if we go, we may go there and fight with the wrong weapons. God's weapon is love. God loved the world. God loved sinners like me. Maybe you are not. I'm not going to say about you. But I know. I know about myself. God just loved sinners so much that he would send his son to die for them. We need to love them. When I started in our village, I thought I would go to the village for the people to love me. Can you imagine that? I'm lovable. No? Don't you think so? They should love me. I have a right to be loved, to be appreciated. As I was working there, I realized that they did not love me. They hated me. I was doing good to them, but they were doing bad to me. One day, I was really down and discouraged. And I said, that's enough. I'm leaving. They are not appreciating what I'm doing for them. I'm doing for them. Can you imagine that? I'm the one doing it for them. And I said, I quit. God called me to a corner. He said, let's talk. What do you think? Do you think I sent you there for them to love you? My answer is yes. You remember that talk with Jonah? Yeah. And he said, no. I did not send you there to love them. I did not send you there for them to love you, but I sent you to love them. Friend, that has changed everything. Straight to the heart, my motives, everything, because God sent me there. There's another cowboy movie, How the West Was Lost. Have you seen that one? I don't remember much about it, but I probably imagine because they did not fight enough for that. So God is fighting for this world, and he will never give up. So the question is, do you love this world the same way God loved it? I'm not talking about material stuff, people. Would you like to see heaven filled with people? That was my dream. I said, I would like to fill heaven with Haitians. And I went there to preach the gospel because God remained engaged no matter what's going on in our world. God is engaged to transform life, to bring light, to bring beauty and order in people's life, in the world. One day he will do it. This is what he said. He will renew everything. And now he wants us to be part of it. Not only God remains engaged in the world, but God remains engaged no matter what is going on in your life, in my life. God remains engaged. God wants us to be involved in what he's doing in the world. Sometimes I don't feel qualified, but he will keep me there. He wants me to be part of his glory, part of what he's doing. So, most of the time, instead of following God, we try to achieve our own destiny without God. And this is what Adam did. If you want to read with me, chapter 3 of Genesis. They went away from God. Verse 8 to 11 said, and they heard the voice of Jehovah God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves. Why would they do something like that? Why? They hid themselves from the presence of God. And Jehovah God called unto the man and said, where art thou? Can you hear that voice this morning? Seeking, where are you? Where are you now? Maybe somewhere far away, trembling with fear because you fell. You fell God, you fell your church, you fell everything, and you just want to run away, and you don't want to have any part to do with anything God is doing because you fell. And he said, where are you? Because no matter what is going on in your life, God loved you, and he will never give up on you. Never. Never. So, what did God do? He will go and look for us. He went and looked for Adam and searched for him. Where are you? Come. Because he desired to be with us. He has the power to clean us, to save us. When anything happens in our life, we don't have to run away, but run to our Father. Like David said, when I'm afraid, I run to him. And most of the time, when you and I, we fail or we do something wrong, we run away. Just what the devil wants us to do. Because you are not qualified. But God will not give us on you. He will look for you. Not only he will look for you, but he will engage you in a conversation, in a dialogue. He said, Adam, where are you? What happened? How come you are naked? Who told you so? God knew what's happened in Adam's life. That was not a secret for him. God knows everything. What is important for him was to hear Adam repeat to him what happened. Why is that important? Confession. Confession is good for us. It will clean us and bring us back into the fellowship, into the communion, to a place where God not only will restore us, but will use us again. He wanted to hear it from him. The same way he wants to hear from you. How long since God heard from you about what is going on in your life? Maybe it has been too long. Maybe it's time to come back. and tell him. He's waiting for that. There's a verse in Isaiah. He said, come, let us reason together. Can you imagine God wanted to reason with us, reason with me? And sometimes we don't want to do that. Why? Because we are afraid. We are embarrassed because we fell. Our pride comes into it. We want to look good. We want to look great. But coming clean before him will ask me not to look so good, not to look so strong, not to look so great, but to come humbly and share my heart with him, share my life with him, and let him know what is going on. So we have two ways to reason with God. We can try to justify ourselves. That will not work. I cannot justify myself before God. Or I can tell him what is going on. God not only looked for him, not only engaged him in a dialogue, but God covered his guilt and shame when he came clean. When he came, God covered him with his righteousness. God's righteousness. Can you imagine he's willing now to cover you with all of his righteousness? Just come clean. Come and reason before him. So friend, God wants to bring us back to him. First, he's looking for us. As we read in Romans chapter 8, chapter 5, verse 8, he said, but God commanded his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why would he die? He's looking for you. He's looking for me. He's looking for us. He said, here I am. You can come. You can come. Not only God is looking for us, but he wants to engage us in a dialogue. Have you ever read this passage in 1 John 1:9 where he said, come now. He said, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants to remove our guilt. He wants to remove our shame. In Isaiah, he said, come now and let us reason together, said Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. He's calling unto us. What is going on in your life? What would you like to see God doing around you and in your life? One thing is sure, God will never stop loving you. We may choose to stay away from him, but he wished to come closer to us, to help us get back on our feet. No matter what is going on in this world, God will never give up on you. He will never give up on us. He will never give up on this world. Why? Because our story, my story, your story, will be his joy for all eternity. The story of redemption will be his greatest joy for all eternity. God is in the business of redeeming people. And I have a story. Where I live, we have a campus. It's a beautiful place. And this year, we had a wedding at the beginning of the year, a special wedding. This man and his wife, they have been living together for 24 years because in this village, no one ever got married. They just stayed together. It's a voodoo place. As we were reaching out with the gospel, people were coming to Christ, the wife came to the Lord. Her children with her. But her husband is a voodoo priest. When we got to that village, there were 12 of them, 12 voodoo priests. Now, we were down to two, and this man was one of them. After her conversion, after her salvation, she said to her husband, "You are darkness. I'm light. We cannot live as husband and wife anymore." Can you imagine? He said, "Your bed is here, my bed is there." No communication. The crisis started. They called me. I had to go through 1 Corinthians 7 to say, well, that is true, but God said, you cannot leave him. He's your husband. Then she said, "I cannot eat from your money because you are earning money from voodoo tricks." She was ready to sacrifice everything to follow the Lord. Then her church told her, "You cannot be part of the ministry because you are living with a man and you are not married. You have to get married." They came and they explained the situation to me. I went to the man, said, "What are you going to do? Do you love this woman?" So we talked. Finally, he said, "I will get married." So we have a beautiful wedding. The next day, it happened. The next Sunday, he was in church. The following Sunday, he was back to church. And every Sunday, he's back to church. Now we are down to one voodoo priest in the village. Down to one. And the last one told me, in March this year, this is the end, he's coming. So this is the first time an entire village will come to the Lord. This might be the first village in Haiti to turn entirely to the Lord. And when my wife and I, we were going there, they told us, "Don't go there. This is the worst place to go." And we went. We loved them. We served them. And now this place has been changed. And from there, we have a radio station, a TV station called Heaven. And as a motto, the town closer to our village is Lembe. And we said, when you are in Lembe, you are closer to heaven. And the people in the village, they said, when you are in our village, you are in heaven. That is great. God can do that. Not only this couple, but we have a young man. Never been to school. Well, he has been to school, but not able to continue. God provided from someone here in the state a sewing machine, and he's working to earn money to pay his school. God is moving all over the world. Not only this young man. For the first time in this village, we have four girls, the first four girls ever to go to college. Amen. Amen. But don't think the boys went to college. The boys still cannot make it to college because this is the first graduated from high school ever from this village. And now we help them make it to college, and we are trying to have scholarship fund to help them go into college. And next year, more kids will go to college because light has come. God is light. God is life. And the Spirit is moving. We just need to provide the opportunity. Now I'm in radio. There is something in the radio transmitter that is called exciter. My exciter was broken, and I called someone to fix it. He did not. So I was playing music. I was having programs going on through the radio, but nothing went out. The exciter is what gets the sound out to the listeners. Friend, we are God's exciter. If we are broken, they are not going to hear the word. They are not going to hear about God. So we need to repair that. We need to get involved. All over the world, God is moving. and he's waiting for exciters. Would you like to be an exciter today? You can be an exciter. If I am one, you can be one. I'm the least person that is qualified for that work. I would never imagine one day in my life I would leave Canada, where I used to live, and Dallas, where my daughters were born, to go into a village to reach those people, voodoo priest, and to be in Port-au-Prince working with president. This is what God can do. Don't. Whatever happened, God remains engaged. What is expecting from us? There is a poem on him. I would like to finish with it. He said, "Oh love, the love of God, oh love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe. That in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be." Do you owe him anything? You want to give him back something? Have you experienced his love? Friend, God is moving. God is winning. Even if you don't see it, God is moving. And he's inviting you to be part of it. So after the meeting, you can look at the tables. We have different opportunities. Look at them and find a place to get involved in whatever way possible God would like for you to be involved. Let me close with a prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this morning, the time we spent together, looking how you are engaged and involved, how you will never let go, like this father. We pray for this great church, for the people here to hear your voice and to answer your call, whatever you may ask them. There are so many opportunities today in the world. Nothing should stop us. Please get us involved and use us for your glory. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more information about Grace, visit our website at grace360.org.